Chapter 2. The senior staff were already seated at the table when I arrived. They were Jack Fraser, president of Tillman & Associates, Cyrus Pope, chairman of the board of Tillman & Associates, and Jonathan Price, CEO of Conacher Publishing, an affiliate company of Tillman & Associates. My forehead wrinkled as I looked around the room, wondering if any one of these men would be my boss. I was already reporting to Jack, somewhat. At some point, I'm sure someone told me the name of my new manager, but that was weeks ago. I couldn't remember his name. I was sure it was a man. I kicked myself for not paying more attention when I was told. But what did I expect? I'd been working overtime to get these files in a suitable order, doing Cheryl's casework, and settling into my new work area. It's no wonder I didn't remember. Maybe the person was running late. I felt positive about my new boss, especially after the morning I'd had. I sighed. Cyrus caught my look and frowned in my direction. I quickly looked away. I do not like men who exert their control. Was a smile too much in the morning? I caught Jack smiling at me, and I smiled back. Now, that was more like it. His eyes then traveled down and back up again. I could feel my smile falter. Well, at least he was smiling. I looked over to Jonathan, who gave me a bright smile and said, "Good morning." As other Tillman employees came into the room, I discreetly looked over the three men who were running the company. Cyrus, the Killjoy, was tall and big with dark brown hair that was cut rather long. He had dark brown eyes, a long nose, and a long face. He looked very mean, as though he would rather be pillaging the village and dragging women around by their hair. He looked to be at least 40 years old, with no wife, no kids, and an empty bachelor pad. Jack, the roving eye, was of medium height with a thin frame. He had black hair that was graying at the temples, light gray eyes, and tan skin. Really tan. He looked like he vacationed in the Sahara Desert at least 6 months of the year. Jonathan reminded me of Santa. He had a full head of hair that was silvery white. Although he did have a white mustache, he did not have a beard. Thank goodness. I don't think I would have made it through the meeting without laughing if he had a beard. He was also not big as in fat, but was tall with a muscular frame. His quick smile and twinkling brown eyes took away from his booming voice and large physique. Nonetheless, I made a mental note to not be around when he was mad. As the meeting started, I glanced around to note if any other employees were not already the level of department head. I was also hoping to jog my memory. It appeared that I'd be working with Cheryl a little longer. I looked over at her. She was leering suggestively at Jack. Yuck! The meeting focused on the change in departments, the effect of adding the international clients to the company, and the need to move forward into the electronic age. I almost laughed when they mentioned several current technical terms. It was obvious how foreign these words were to them, especially if you knew how archaic Tillman's technology was compared to the other companies in our industry. Next, Jack discussed the new vice president of Tillman & Associates and his history with the company. Jack focused on the plans to remain competitive and how the vice president would be instrumental in this venture. Again, I stifled a chuckle and a yawn. I wasn't sure, but it looked like Cyrus began to fidget in his seat. I noticed because Cyrus did not look like the fidgeting type. He turned his frown at me, and I nonchalantly looked away. When I focused back to the speech, Jack was saying that the new vice president was scheduled to be in this meeting, but was unable to attend due to unforeseen travel. Jack advised that the vice president would most likely be in the building later that day and would be officially introduced to the company at tomorrow's company meeting. Soon after, the meeting adjourned. I realized that I had not heard the name of my new boss. I looked around me, disappointed. I was catching bits and pieces of conversations. I figured that they had to be talking about the new VP. I acted like I was gathering up my notes, but remained seated. I tuned in to what was being said. What is his name? Charles, from down south? Spoiled, bit of a flirt. Dad's got stock in the company. Poor girl. At that point, I noticed a small group looking in my direction. I quickly looked back at my notebook so they wouldn't think I was eavesdropping. Some girl pregnant. There were strippers and wild sex. I quickly ended the eavesdropping, just in case they were referring to me when mentioning the strippers and wild sex. I hurried over to Veronica and asked her to find out about an employee named Charles. She knew everyone at Tillman & Associates, and if she didn't, she would by the end of the day. I gave her the small bit of information I knew, excluding the girl being pregnant and wild sex. She promised to get back to me that afternoon. I was thinking about the strippers as I made my way to my cubicle and turned on my computer. As it warmed up, I considered just asking Veronica if she knew my new boss. I quickly nixed that idea. I didn't want to seem so uninformed, especially with Veronica. I felt so clever for getting the information I needed without being associated as dimwitted. I checked my emails. 27 new emails awaited me. I felt my shoulders drop. It was going to be a long afternoon. There was one from Cheryl, which I opened immediately. It read, "You owe me 15 minutes. "Hello, Earth to Nora." A voice behind me said. I jumped up and looked around at the opening of my cubicle. Veronica stood there with her purse in her hand. She was looking down at me and smiling. "Is my mascara running again?" I asked her, standing and stretching my arms toward the ceiling. "No, but it's time to go." She looked over her shoulder and said goodbye to another coworker passing by, and then turned back to me and said, "I still don't have any idea who this Charles is, but he's all I focused on all day." I shook my head and gave her a blank look. "Who's Charles?" Her eyes bugged out of her head. "You told me to find Charles. I've been looking up employees and customers all day." She put her hands on her hips and pointed a finger at me. "And you don't remember asking me to find this guy?" I ignored her while she went on. I bent over to look at my computer screen. I had replied to 16 emails and 10 phone calls before I had conked out at my desk. I closed out my email and shut down the computer. "I remember. You didn't find out anything?" I asked as I turned back to her. She was looking over her shoulder again. "If I don't know, then I know Lorraine definitely knows. Let me ask her." Veronica said, turning to walk away. I reached out and grabbed her hand, holding her there in the cubicle. Lorraine could not keep a secret. "Oh no, Veronica, not Lorraine." I gripped her hand harder. "You know what? It was nothing. There's no need to look him up. I can find him myself," I told her. I felt my cleverness slipping away. Veronica struggled to get free of my hold. "I'll keep it discreet. There won't be anything for her to tell. I don't even know what this is about." She wrenched free and gave me a hard look before walking over to Lorraine's cubicle. I yelled out, "It's about work," although it was a little late. I began cleaning off my desk and dropping items in my desk drawers. I had picked up my purse and a couple of files when I heard Lorraine and Veronica talking at the opening of my cubicle. Veronica said, "Lorraine knows one employee named Charles."
"He works in the accounting department,"
Lorraine squeaked.
"His name is Charles Newberry. Nora, honey, he's married."
I sighed. Trust Lorraine to get the wrong idea from the start. She was looking at me with pity in her eyes. "No, Lorraine, I'm not asking about Charles from accounting. I'm not sure this man is even an employee," I said quickly. Maybe too quickly. I was sure hoping that it wasn't Charles from accounting.
"And you're so pretty. You definitely do not want to waste your time with a married man. Have some respect for yourself,"
Lorraine continued, as though I had not said anything.
"You women nowadays are so eager for affection that you'll accept the first man who smiles at you."
Did I mention that Lorraine was older than 60? At that moment, I was wondering why she was still here and not off somewhere retired and weeding her garden. My once good friend said, Not me. I don't agree with dating married men.
I glowered at her. I am not asking for any romantic purposes. I was trying to find out some information for the accounts.
I tried again.
Lorraine was now on a roll. And the men these days, whatever happened to chivalry? Today, they just want to get you in bed on the first date. Back in my day, we courted and wooed each other. We were allowed to flirt and get to know one another.
I wished I lived back in those days,
said the traitor. I snorted and rolled my eyes. Back in what days? I heard a male voice say on the other side of the cubicle. I peeked out and saw Randy, another coworker, walking up to Veronica. Lorraine spoke up. I was just explaining to Nora how she doesn't want to get involved with Charles. From accounting, he's married, and I don't want to see her hurt. Randy gave me a skeptical look.
Have you ever seen Charles? You are talking about Mr. Newberry, about this tall?
He stretched his hand out to my chest level, with about 3 strands of hair on the top of his head. I shook my head. No, Randy, I don't know the fella you're referring to. In fact, Lorraine and Veronica were exaggerating about this guy. I stopped talking, realizing Randy was avidly listening to Lorraine continue her campaign about listless men and unscrupulous women. I tried again. Listen, guys, I don't even know this man. I wouldn't know him if he came up and kissed me on the lips. The last of my sentence trailed off as I realized that all conversation had stopped, and 3 pairs of eyes were boring holes into me. Oh, goodness. What had I said? Randy whooped. You kissed him? What'd he do? Get on a ladder? I stammered out a response, shaking my head vehemently. No, no, I stopped trying. I followed them out of my cubicle, irritated.
Well, honey, you move fast. What are you asking for my help for?
Lorraine demanded of me. I looked to Veronica for help. She was looking at me stunned. Then the traitor said,
when did you kiss him?
Matter-of-factly, I said. I did not kiss him. Just when had this conversation gotten so out of hand? Unfortunately, my plea fell upon deaf ears because Lorraine turned to Veronica and said,
well, if she really wants to be set up with him, I'll do it. It's her life.
I really wanted to beat the old bat with a stick and take a chainsaw to the beast of a woman standing next to her. I couldn't fault Randy because he came in the middle of the discussion. I huffed and gave up. Let the idiots do what they wanted. I stalked off, holding my take-home work to my chest and yelled out, good night, all. They continued talking to one another. Just as I reached the door to the stairway, I heard Lorraine call out,
I'll see what Charles thinks of Saturday.
I bit the inside of my mouth to refrain from saying what I really wanted to yell out. I ran down the steps, happily ready to leave this place.